Let me tell you the end of that story. When Horatio Spafford united with his wife again in London, of course, they had the funeral services for their daughters. But having lost everything here in the United States, they decided to stay in London. God laid on their heart to start a mission. And fast forward a little bit, they ended up having 7 more children. So, yeah, it's true. And God blessed them in that way. And not only that, their mission still continues to this day, you know, in London. So isn't it true sometimes when we go through hard times, we don't know exactly what God has in store, but God can see the whole picture. We can't. Isn't that true? Now, before I get into the passage, if you have your Bibles, if you want to turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, I did neglect to say to pray for Angelo. Angelo had a nerve block done in his back. So if he says, stay off my back, you know why. Okay. But pray that it's effective and the pain subsides. Those of you who live with chronic back pain know how bad that can be. So continue to pray for Angelo. Is it a fair statement that life gets tough sometimes? Is that a fair statement? All right. If it hasn't been tough for you yet, it's coming. It's coming. It's just life. And one of the reasons why it gets tough, believe it or not, is because of evil in the world. That's why creation is cursed, because of man's sin. And as long as there's evil, life is going to get tough in some way. It could be a rebellious child, a pregnancy of a young teen girl, problems with a neighbor, you or your family member battling addiction, the loss of a spouse or a child, a stressed marriage, battling low self-esteem. Did I miss some things? I mean, we can go on and on, right? There could be a whole lot of things. I've been in situations where I've worked for companies years ago where the company would have to have a layoff because companies wanted to run lean and mean back in the 80s, if you remember that time period, where people who gave the company 20, 25 years were let go because they made too much money. Right? That hurts. You know, that hurts big time. It hurts if you come home one day and you discover that your spouse left you. That hurts. Or you discover the spouse was cheating on you. I mean, we can go on and on. Listen, if you want to know all the possible hard times, listen to country western music. Or turn a soap opera on. And then you can get all the possible hard times. But when we encounter hard times, trials, tribulations, there's really only two alternatives if you think about it. We can either run from them, correct? Or we can learn to face them by faith, standing on the promises of God. Those are the only two reactions. Here's what I've discovered in almost 30 years of ministry. I've discovered this, that if you choose to run from them, they're going to follow you. You can never really run from the issues. You know why? Simply because of this, especially in the life of a Christ follower. Those issues are allowed by God for a purpose. Now, we may think, gee, that's awful cruel of God, but no, it's not true. They're allowed for a purpose. And we're going to get into those purposes in a minute. But if we choose to run, then we are saying to God, number one, I don't trust you. Isn't that true? And number two, I'm taking control. Even though I can't see past my nose right now, I'm taking control. And the end result of that is we usually make things worse. Right? I mean, if we're honest with ourselves, we make things worse. So, if we run from them, we miss out on what God wants for us to learn and apply to our lives. And consequently, we miss his blessings when we take this back on ourselves. Our faith doesn't grow. Our love doesn't grow. And we usually make the situations worse. Paul gives us some principles about how God brings about spiritual maturity in the life of a Christ follower. The Bible seems to indicate that faith and love are like muscles. Okay? And what I mean by that, in order for muscles to grow and become stronger, what do they have to do? They have to exercise. Okay? Right? They got to exercise. They got to exercise. Now, this is only 8 pounds. Okay? But to a 64-year-old guy who's out of shape, it's a start. Right? I mean, you exercise. And no wisecracks from that area. The young guys. If you come here during the week, right next to us, we have a drill sergeant by name of Sean Darling. And when he works people out, he does a great job, by the way. When he works people out, they hurt. They hurt. I mean, you can hear them. They're working hard. But he doesn't do it so that they hurt. He's preparing them so their muscles grow stronger, their bodies grow stronger, their bodies are more healthy. Isn't that true? Listen, when God allows hard times in our lives, he's doing the same thing for us spiritually. Now, I don't want you to get confused here. God is not the author of evil. He cannot author evil. Is that clear? Okay? But what God does do, allow in our lives, he allows hard times in our lives for a specific purpose. I can't pretend to know what his specific purpose is, but I can tell you this. If we follow him by faith through these hard times, being obedient to him, that's the key, being obedient by faith, what he's going to do is end up making the muscle of faith stronger and the muscle of love stronger. Well, Pastor, isn't there an easier way? Yeah. Not for sinful human beings. Human beings who are saved by grace. Listen, most adults learn by failure. Isn't that true? Most adults learn by failure. So failure doesn't have to be the end, especially for a Christ follower, but it could be a beginning point of learning about God, ourselves, and what comes next. So follow this with me, okay? Paul, in his second letter now to the churches in Thessalonica, he says this, we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so. And here's why. Because your faith is what? How much? More and more. You know what's happening? There. God's exercising it. That's what's happening. How do I know that? Stick with me. Not only is their faith growing more and more, and the love all of you have for one another is what? Increasing. That's a good thing, isn't it? It doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't happen by accident. Here's why. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance. Hear that word? Perseverance and faith in all the what? And that you are what? That's why faith is growing. That's why love is growing. Listen, I'm going to give you a grim statistic, okay? And the reason why it's grim, because in our American culture, we don't like to hear it. In our American culture, we like to be comfortable. In our American culture, we don't like suffering. In our American culture, we want things to be easy. In fact, if there were a way you can get this message in 2 minutes, you would probably prefer that, okay? We've been trained that way. That's our consumer mentality. But God doesn't work that way, all right? God says, hey, look, character, faith, love are all developed under pressure. Does that make sense? I'll put it another way. Somebody's true character comes out when they're under pressure. What do you think road rage is? Or if you're under pressure at work and you start throwing things and swearing, endlessly, if you're under pressure in the family and you start just yelling at everybody, true character comes out under pressure. True character also comes out when you're alone. Okay? So God is in the business of not just saving people. He's in the business of growing them so that they finish well. Does that make sense? He wants us to finish well for His glory, not ours, for His honor. And so here's the grim statistic. The church historically has never grown in good times. The church historically has always grown in times of persecution. Now, why do I say that? Because it's true. But be ready, gang. Those days might not be so far off. Okay? And if they come, they're here for a purpose, and we better listen to God. If you're going through hard times right now, they're there for a purpose. You better listen to God. And so, he continues on this, and he wants us to understand that, let me just go back one. In all of this, first of all, God allows persecutions and trials to help us learn more about His character, God's character. Sometimes when we go through hard times, you know, we think about what we can do, right? Rather, maybe we better start thinking about what God wants us to learn through it. Does that make sense? Okay. He wants us to learn more about Him and His character. Number one, he is always faithful to His promises. And do you realize one of the promises that He doesn't make to us is that we are happy all the time? You understand that? By the way, that's never a promise for marriage either. Okay? Happiness is always circumstantial, but He wants us to learn that He is faithful. He will never leave us or forsake us. He wants, we have to realize that He is love. Even though we're going through hard times, He still loves us. Even though we're going through hard times, His grace is still available to us. And that even though we go through hard times, He's still righteous. What does that mean? That means that if we don't obey Him and we disobey and stray, He's going to discipline us. He's going to bring us back. So that's why when we choose to run, He'll bring discipline into our lives to try to get us back onto the right path with Him. It doesn't mean that you're going to get struck by lightning, okay? And it doesn't mean that you're going to have this epiphany. But you know as well as I do, He'll give us degrees of discipline. Sometimes it's a gentle pat on the rear. Sometimes it's more like, wake up. You know, but He will discipline us to get us back, not for the reason to hurt us, but for the reason to restore us and to say, look, you need to learn to what? Trust me. Trust me through this. One of the things that we have come to dislike in our culture is process. You know what I mean by process? Process means something takes time, right? We want things to be instantaneous. We want things to happen today. Okay, I broke my arm in three places once. And my preference would have been like Star Trek. They do something with the tricorder, you know, and I go home from the hospital pain-free. It's not the way it works. It was a pretty bad break. And so it took a long time of healing and therapy and pain to build the arm back up again. Process. God sometimes works instantaneously, but most of the times He works through process. Why does He work through process? Because He wants you to grow. And He wants you to grow in your faith and in your love and in dependence on Him. You see, He can see past our immediate circumstances. We can't. He sees the beginning and the end. So Horatio Spafford had some idea of this when he penned the words to those songs. I mean, can you imagine losing five children at once? I can't imagine losing one child, let alone five children at once. But even through his grief, even through his mourning, he knew that that God knows his pain. He knows what's going on, that he has something in store, even though he didn't know what that was at that point. He knows what's best for us. That's usually where we get in trouble. When we start ignoring the word of God and we stop hearing His voice, we stop listening to the prompts of the Holy Spirit, we begin to think we know what's best for us. We've had a number of people who are still going through medical stuff. Doctors prescribe medicine to help you get well. And that doesn't mean they never make mistakes. We know doctors make mistakes, but when they prescribe correctly, it's for your benefit. If you want to rush that process, you're going to be in trouble. For instance, if doctor says you got to take this medication for 4 weeks, 6 weeks, whatever it is, and you don't like that idea, you want to rush it, you stop taking the medication, you're going to probably be worse off. Right, Miss Nurse? Okay. That's going to happen. Because, see, we have the mentality, as soon as we feel better, we think we're okay. We don't like process anymore. God always works through process. We have to trust Him in the process. He wants us to learn more about ourselves and our character. If we're honest with ourselves and we do an inventory when we're under pressure and we see ourselves at the worst, or your spouse sees yourself at the worst, however that works out, we better pay attention, because there's things in our lives that need to be corrected. Does that offend anybody? I hear this thing about righteous anger all the time. Let me give you a clue. There are times I believe we can be angry for a good reason, but most times it's for bad reasons. Most times it's because the circumstances have blocked what I want. What I want. And so we get into these mentalities that there might be something in our lives sinful that we need to confess. Lest I knew, there was nobody here that was perfect. And so there might be sin we need to confess and repent of and ask God for forgiveness. We can learn a deepening dependence on God and His Word and His Spirit. And as we do that and we learn to trust the process, even though we don't understand this sometimes, we trust the process and we're obedient to the Word of God. We're obedient to the leading of the Spirit of God. What starts to get exercised now is what muscle? Faith. And it grows. And it grows. And it grows. By baby steps. Process. It doesn't happen overnight. You know what happens in this too? Through whatever hard time we're going through, you're not the only one. You may feel like the only one, but you're not the only one. If I mention some things that cause hard times, I guarantee you, let's do this. If you want to volunteer to do this, we can do this. How many of you have had to deal with rebellious children? Raise your hand. You're not alone, right? How many of you have had to deal with maybe a child or a relative with drug addiction? You're not alone. How many of you had to deal with divorce? You're not alone. You look around, because when we go through problems, sometimes we feel that we're alone, right? Nobody can understand. First of all, God understands. Second of all, man, you got people who were saved by grace here who have gone through it, and you're not alone. And in saying that, here's the thing about going through a tough time. If we go through it God's way, learning to trust Him a little bit more, learning more about ourselves, repenting of sin that is in our lives, we start then all of a sudden to have more love and compassion for others who are going through the same thing. Right? You know what's a good sign of that? We become less judgmental. Easy to be judgmental, isn't it? We become less judgmental and more compassionate. More compassionate. If there's anything this world needs, it's more faith in Jesus Christ. And a growing faith in Jesus Christ. And it's a greater love of Christ being channeled through us in compassion for one another. How many times you make judgments and you don't know the whole story? Right? And then you get egg on the face, right? Because when, you know, you start to find out the story, not that it's any of your business in the first place, but, you know, you start to find out the story and you say, Oh, I shouldn't have said what I said. Process. I want you to look at the following verses with me real quick. All this is evidence that God's judgment is right. As a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are, what's the word? Ooh, we don't like that. Give me two Tylenol. You know, we don't like that. No suffering. God is what? He will pay back what? To those who what? Problem is, we may not see it. We don't have to see it. It's God's business. Now, I have to confess to you, there are times I'd love to see it. I'm serious. There are times I'd love to see it. In fact, Brianna came up with a cute song. Some of it I couldn't play here, but it's called I'm Praying For You. Right? I don't know who did it, but in the song, you know, it talks about the trials and the hardships somebody has caused the singer. And he said, and the chorus goes, I'll pray for you. I'll pray a piano falls on your head. I'll pray this and that. You know, it's funny, but if I tell you I didn't feel like that sometimes, I'd be lying to you. That's when I have to step back and I have to realize this, that God's going to take care of it and it's not my business. Ultimately, He would take care of it. And it doesn't matter whether I see it or not. It's enough for me to know that He will have the final word. That should be enough for us. And give you relief who are troubled to you, to us as well. In other words, when we know God's got this, and again, I don't tell God how to do this. God has got this, and when he comes back again, for sure, He's going to set all the wrongs right. That I know. That's good enough for me at this point. That I know. He's gonna judge evil. But then He's gonna reward the faithful. See, there's two sides of that. He will judge evil, but then He will reward the faithful. Now, you can read these verses, and the question that comes up is, seems like Paul's saying that through suffering we earn our salvation. That is not true. Salvation is by faith alone, through God's grace, and the finished work of Jesus Christ, period. That's it. But what suffering does is prepare us for the life's journey to finish well, so that when God calls us home, man, we're ready. Right? We're ready. Whenever that day is, we're ready. This is looking to the second coming of Christ when He establishes His 1,000-year reign here on earth. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with blazing fire and His powerful angels. Man, I hope I'm around to see it here. If not, I'll see it from heaven. But I hope I'm around to see it, because this, and you know, we won't need Fox News or CNN or ABC or CBS to cover this. Because everyone's going to see this. It's going to be a literal, visible return of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And on this return, He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus. I have to trust that when I see the evils that I see in Paris, in the United States, all over the world, done by radical Islam, that ultimately God is going to have the final word. I'm not saying we should do nothing about it. What I'm saying is I know one day God's going to set all things right. In the meantime, sin still is here, and there will be hard time and suffering. Our choice is, will we be obedient to God, or will we choose to run from it, or take it in our own hands and make it worse? They will be punished with everlasting destruction. This is the unbeliever now, the ones who reject God, and shut out of the presence of the Lord from glory of His might. Hell is literally being isolated from God with no chance of a relationship with Him. That's what hell is. Now, the suffering is another part of hell. We know that they're both eternal. But there is no bridge in hell to heaven. That bridge was gone when Christ came back again. On that day, he comes to be glorified in his people, to be marveled at among those who have believed. This includes you, because you have believed in our testimony. Listen to me. I need to go back for 1 second. If you're here today and you haven't trusted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you're not here by accident. You need to make that decision today. You need to make that decision today. Because if we choose to go through life and we reject that, there is no second chance after death. There is no second chance after death. God has you here for a reason. You need to settle this by faith. You don't have to do good works. You don't have to be a member. You don't have to do any of that. You simply need to believe that Jesus Christ loved you so much that he went to the cross in your place to pay the penalty that we all deserve, death. He took your sin and mine, nailed it to the cross, and then he says, I paid your penalty. I paid your fine, and now I can offer you forgiveness. All you need to do is trust me. Simple, childlike faith. With this in mind, we pray constantly for you, that God may make you worthy of his calling. Another way to say this is that we're praying that you live a life worthy of the calling you have in Christ. I need that prayer. Do you? I need your prayer so that I can do that and finish well. And by his power, he may bring to fruition every what? Desire for goodness and every deed prompted by faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. Listen to me. Beware of somebody who's a Christ follower who comes and says, I want you to know what I did. Look how good I am, right? Here's what, you know, typically, these are people who get stuck in legalism, that good Christians, in quotes, don't go to movies. Good Christians don't play cards. Good Christians don't dance. That's baloney, okay? What this is saying is any progress we make in this process of what the Bible calls sanctification, becoming more like Christ through the hard times, through the trials, is only by the grace of God, period. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, under the influence of the Word of God. Then we say, look what he did. Look what he did. That Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him according to the grace. Grace, underline that, of our Lord, or of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. There's a commercial on, I don't know if I'm allowed to say it, but I'm going to say it anyhow. It's a Capital One commercial. And the punch of the commercial is, you know, they bring you all through these scenarios. They used to use like the Norsemen in their commercial. Now they're using other scenarios. And the punchline of the commercial is, what's in your wallet, right? So the question I want to ask you today is, what hard times is in your wallet that you're going through right now? You don't need a credit card to work out of it. You don't need to be paying 20% interest. You don't need the world's solutions to work out of it, but you need the grace of God. You need to trust him in the process by faith and in the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Continue to be obedient to what God would have us to do according to his word. And just trust him for the next step. One of the things I want to leave you with this morning is this. In my counseling, a lot of people, they'll be so overwhelmed by the circumstance in which they find themselves in. They'll say to me, I don't know what to do next. And one of the things that I've embraced over the years, I've had some good professors teach me counseling. And one of them said to me, one of the biggest things you can say to a person is just do the next right thing. You may not be able to see two steps in front of you, but when God makes clear the next step, just do the next right thing. And then when you take that step, you say, okay, Lord, what's the next right thing? As that comes to you, you do that. And then you find yourself journeying through the process in God's strength, not ours. Knowing that he knows the picture. So we can run away. That does nothing. We can trust and obey God by faith. And with his help, we exercise our faith and love. My plan is for all of us. My prayer is for all of us that whatever you're going through, if you are obedient to God and journey through it in his power, that he increase your love and compassion for others. So that when you leave here today and you see somebody going through a similar circumstance, you can come alongside of them, put your arm around them and say, hey, I've been there. Let me tell you what God is able to do. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. God is able. The other thing I want you to remember is that church is not for perfect people. Right? Anybody here perfect? Okay. Far from it. But this is a place for broken people. People who have been broken by hard times. People who have been broken by their own sin. People who have been legitimately broken who are seeking help from God. We should be, and this ended up in one of the quotes, so I'm not sure how it got there, but this, we should be a hospital for sinners. Amen? Before we go to our closing song, I want you to look at this video.